You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Another hour has arrived, and it could be a very important hour as we continue to look for three puffs of white smoke coming from Richard Arrington Boulevard in Birmingham, where the SEC is expected to make an announcement perhaps soon on what it plans being the operative word, with this upcoming college football season. Our guest coming up in a few minutes, Ross Dellinger, reported yesterday that he had heard that they were narrowing in on a 10-game SEC season. There have been conflicting stories all day long if they will expand that. There has been some criticism if they only land there, knocking out the four SEC-ACC interstate rivalries. But we will know relatively soon, we believe, what the plan is. We'll get back to the calls right now and look forward to checking with all of you. And Max is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Max.
Hi, how are you? Listen, I wanted to speak to you for a minute about the real risks that football players or young people actually face from this epidemic. And the fact is, and I really looked at this, I'm a doctor of history, so I know a lot about historical issues. I can research. I'm not an epidemiologist, but I read the science. And the truth is that this virus, the COVID-19 virus, kills a much smaller percentage of children than the normal, what we call the normal influenza virus. You can just look 2 years ago in 2018, we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of children who died from this. I'm 7 years old, and in 1957, I went through the Asian flu virus, and I knew some kids myself who died from that, some relatives and some cousins. It killed about 120,000 people in America, and that's when our population was one half of the size it is today. The truth is that somebody under 20 years of age or under 21 years of age or 20, even 22 or 23 has a much, much smaller chance of dying from the COVID-19 virus than from normal flus in a normal year. And even more importantly than that, I mean, when the football players got in the field, as you know, there is a chance that they will die of heat stroke. There's many cases of that. If they've got some underlying heart issue, they could certainly die from the stress of football. They could break their neck. They could be, you know, they could die from impact. They could be crippled for life. And there's infinitely, at an order of magnitude, incredibly more danger from dying on the field from injury, for instance, than COVID-19. So the issue that this is putting players at risk, you know, we might as well not put anybody at risk at anything. I mean, if we drive 30 miles per hour in automobiles, we would probably reduce the death fatality rate by, 70%, 80%. Life is dangerous, and there is dangerous parts of life. The truth is, the national news last night showed that because of the response to COVID, they didn't say that. They just said because of the COVID virus, we have 140 million people in the world who are in danger. 10,000 kids a month dying from starvation and hunger. It's become that because of the COVID virus. But it's not the COVID virus. It's the response to the COVID virus that's going on. That's why people, and we have three times more suicides, including a lot of kids. We're losing more kids from suicide.
Yeah, listen, I understand. I appreciate the call, and I think it's very nice of you to join us. Hank is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Hank. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hey, Paul. Two things. First of all, I really hope that the SEC goes to a 10+1. Because, you know, it would be a shame to see those rivalries done away with. They can also do what the ACC did, where they built in the possibility of pushing back their championship game 1 week. There's no reason they can't do it. And going under the assumption that eventually there's going to be an 8-team playoff, don't you see this as the future, what the ACC's done and what the SEC is considering?
I do agree. I happen to really like what the ACC has done, and even though we're waiting to hear from the SEC, I don't know what they're going to do. I'm hearing mixed signals that they were leaning more toward the 10 model. I think the ACC came out of yesterday looking brilliant.
Yeah, no, it was a savage move by John Swofford on his way out.
It really was.
If the SEC doesn't do it, it's going to come across as either they're scared or that Greg Sankey's the one that's putting the axe to these rivalries. And, you know, that's just not going to be a good look for the SEC. And I just think that eventually this is a much better model. You know, I think that SEC fans, if they see their 10-game conference schedule, will be much more pumped up for this season. I know that the ACC, there's never been this much anticipation for a season, and it's because, you know, people get tired of these boring, you know, division matchups.
We don't know the announcement's upcoming, but if it is only 10, and that certainly seems to be the money line at this hour, the SEC is going to open themselves up because I'll let them give the explanation. And one person told me this afternoon that they just are so concerned about testing that they don't want to go beyond that. I don't see much bit difference between 10 and 11 games. But the ACC people are going to howl. You would agree, I know.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a great move on their part. But, you know, I just think that Alabama fans know that they can beat Ole Miss and, you know, Arkansas in their sleep. And, you know, what's the point of just beating them all the time? It's going to be much more exciting for the fans to have different matchups, you know. And,
totally agree. Hey, really appreciate your call. Let's go to Jeremy, who's also in South Carolina. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just had a question. I seen a headline earlier today about the NCAA allowing social justice messages on their jerseys. And I was wondering what you thought about it.
The NCAA approved today that it would allow college players to have a social message on their jerseys, and I think they are following in line with what all the professional sports are doing right now. What do you think?
Well, I just think it encourages more controversy. I just don't understand why we just can't, you know, play football and leave that stuff to other venues.
Well, let me explain it this way. Life has changed pretty dramatically, Jeremy, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'm just telling you the way it is. And the NCAA is being sensitive to what young people want, and young people today want to express themselves. We have a very busy show on tap. Ross Dellinger, who has been all over the SEC story and may have some news as we come to him in a few minutes, because there's a lot of speculation that the SEC has made its decision. In fact, we'll talk to Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the Big 12, in the next hour, and the SEC commissioner, Greg Sankey, will join us later in the program as well. So stick around, much more to come on what promises to be an active afternoon. Ross Dellinger is next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back, and we said it was going to be a busy afternoon on the program, and there's every reason to believe there will be. Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, will join us in about 2 hours to give us the latest, and the person who has been at the vanguard of the reporting on this is our next guest. He is Ross Dellinger, who yesterday reported that the SEC was likely to land on a 10-game only schedule. Ross is joining us now. And Ross, I know you've been working this story all day long. What do you know?
I know that just minutes ago, the SEC president approved a, what we reported yesterday, a 10-game comp.
Well, nothing like the big news getting upstaged by losing the connection, but I will. We'll try. This is showbiz. We'll try to get Ross back on, but what Ross was saying is that the SEC has just approved a 10-game schedule. We will get him back in a minute, but there's some speculation the season could be delayed deep into September. When we get Ross back, I'll let him finish his thought. Nothing like waiting all summer to get the news on what the SEC was going to do and lose the connection, but we'll have Ross back in just a moment. Okay, Ross, I think you, are you back?
I am. Sorry.
Okay, let's start over again, because just as you were telling us the news, we lost your connection. So go ahead. You have learned what?
Some breaking news. The SEC president's just approved a 10-game conference-only schedule starting September 26th, and SEC championship game pushed back to December 19th. Sources tell us it just happened the last few minutes here. No news on how the two additional SEC games would be determined, but I can assume that they might take the next two opposite division rotation, or each team's opposite division rotation. That's just an assumption. I haven't heard exactly the details there, but we know three things: a 10-game conference only schedule, we know September 26th start, and we know December 19th championship game.
Let's just talk about the September 26th start for a second, Ross, because that might be the most surprising thing of the afternoon. We've been hearing that, you know, their game's scheduled for week zero, which is around the corner, September 26th. I realize the story is just breaking, but what do you know about that and why?
I think a lot of schools are preparing or expecting breakouts potentially, or outbreaks in camp, maybe. You know, when students come back, potential outbreaks breaking out on campuses. And I think they want just some time. And I think they just want time. Like Greg Sankey has said, and others through this whole process, the more time, the better, into making a concrete decision on things. Because this doesn't mean that the season is imminent. You know, the numbers are still high in a lot of places, especially in the SEC's footprint. So it gives them some time, a little more time, to assess the situation, to potentially pause workouts during camp if they need to because of outbreaks. Again, when students come on campus, potential outbreaks. So it gives them some time. And by pushing back the SEC championship game, 2 weeks? You know, I think that you have some makeup time in there, and obviously not playing two extra games gives you – 3 weeks plus the two byes, so 5 weeks, I guess, of flexibility, maybe.
Yeah, Ross, I want to get to the reason for this, because there has been a lot. I mean, these leagues are all friends, but already, you know, you hear so much about the four SEC-ACC games, but because of what the ACC announced yesterday, the Virginia-Georgia game went down. So did the Auburn-North Carolina game. And tell me if you've heard this today, that there's a sense among some SEC people that was all about protecting Notre Dame, had nothing to do with the SEC. So the SEC responded in kind by saying, see you later, guys. You don't care about us. Why should we try to protect those four games?
Yeah, there seems to be a little bit of animosity there between the two leagues, the ACC and the SEC. And we were told, and Pat Forty, my colleague, wrote a column about this yesterday. We were told that the ACC had no real plans of making an announcement yesterday. They were going to push it to next week. And then all of a sudden, you know, they made an announcement in their schools. I believe Pat Forty reported this, got a 10-minute warning on the ACC's release. So you can tell there's a little bit of gamesmanship going on right now. And, you know, the SEC and its presidents and even ADs are going to take some flack because, as you mentioned, those four traditional rivalry games are now off the table. And while the ACC had pulled out a little hope, you know, in offering an option to play those rivalry games, the SEC nixed it.
Ross, I want to try to explain, you know, and we're going to talk to Bob Bowlesby here at the top of the next hour. You know, why some schools are trying to play week zero and the SEC is going to be sitting there with most of the month of September dark. You're in the middle of all this in terms of your reporting. I mean, can you try? Is it that chaotic right now among the five Power Five leagues that nobody is literally going to start the season on the same day?
It sounds like we're going to have a staggered start, doesn't it? You know, Big 12 revving up for week zero. Big 10, I saw a report today from Tom Dienhart about week 10, or the Big 10 starting week one, you know, September 5th, and now the SEC saying this 26th. The ACC said the 7th to the 12th, so staggered here, aren't we? Which is going to make for an odd September. You know, it's going to be an interesting month to watch all these teams, most of them playing conference only, stagger the start. It's going to be an unusual year, Paul, just an unusual season in general. You know, we're all going to have to prepare for that.
And Ross, I realize so much is happening right now, but you know, if you're an SEC fan, as we have a few watching and listening at the moment, you're trying to figure out, okay, I know who my eight conference games are. Who are my additional two? You've done some reporting on that as well.
I have, yeah, and I haven't gotten any concrete answers yet out of that. But I will tell you, just from what one person within the league had mentioned, and this is coming from no real, I don't think, high-profile person. This has not been discussed from what I understand, or he has not been any discussions, but his assumption would be the two additional would be the next two on a team's opposite division rotation. And so the two would be the 2021 in 2022 opposite division rotational team.
And Ross, I think you're right. I just confirmed with someone within the SEC, one school in particular, and that marries what you are saying here. And for those who don't know, Ross just put this out. That means Alabama, I'll go through all 14 very quickly, but Alabama would add Florida and Vanderbilt this year to the roster. Auburn, South Carolina, Missouri, Arkansas, I believe that would be Georgia and South Carolina, LSU, UK and Tennessee, Mississippi State, Vandy and Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee and Kentucky, Texas A&M, Missouri and Florida. So, you know, continuing, Florida adds Bama and Texas A&M, Georgia, Arkansas and Mississippi State, UK, LSU and Ole Miss, Missouri, A&M and Auburn, South Carolina, Auburn and Arkansas, UT, Ole Miss and LSU and Vanderbilt, Mississippi State and Bama. It's just utterly confusing, of course. But do you have any other ideas why they only win conference? I know I've asked you this on one level because of the ACC, but there are a lot of other games hanging out there. That they could have thrown in there early on. You think it's all because of the uncertainty of September?
And that could be it. But you know, I think a conference only schedule does a few things. Obviously, we know that it provides flexibility, right, within a league. You can move games around a little easier working within a league, working within your conference members. We know that the value placed on conference games is huge. They value those games more importantly, and you don't want to take a risk of playing a non-conference game, I think, and then, who knows, losing a few players from it, whether that's injury or the virus. So it gives you just flexibility overall. But one thing also, Paul, and you know a lot about this, is television. You know, at 10 SEC games for a television partner is pretty juicy. You know, every week having a conference game is a pretty good thing for a television partner. And then there's something else, Paul, that nobody else has really talked about, and we've written about a little bit, is that, you know, these conference-only games, or conference-only schedule, means these group of five, these bye games are gone. And these bye games can somewhere be upwards of $1.5 million for these schools. Well, some contracts in the SEC, from what I understand, the bye game contracts say that if the conference, if the league changes the scheduling format, the conference is null and void. So conference teams could conceivably now get out of some of these bye games, and they might not get out without a fight. But you could imagine, Paul, in a court case, if an SEC team was trying to get out of playing a bye game and they played other non-conference games, it would be tougher to do. So it also opens the door potentially for teams to maybe get out of their bye games against these group of five squads.
Ross, I know it's been a busy afternoon. We appreciate you coming on with the breaking news. Thank you very, very much. Always great to have you on.
Yeah, anytime, Paul. Thanks.
Ross Dellinger with the story. And again, there is so much we don't know. We'll talk to two commissioners in the next couple of hours from the Big 12 and the SEC. But if you are just tuning in, has not been made official yet, but both Sports Illustrated and AL.com are both reporting at this hour that the SEC will play a 10-game only season. It will begin on September 26th. Yes, that's what I said, September 26th. And that's it. The conference championship game, December 19th, that would leave very little time, assuming that the college football playoff remains on schedule. That's assuming anything remains on schedule. We will take a break. Much more to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Okay, so we are back, and much more to come before we head home tonight. We have the Big 12 commissioner coming up in the next hour, and the SEC commissioner in the final hour. The SEC is expected to release the official schedule coming up here shortly, but Ross Dellinger pretty well laid it out for you, and we will know in a couple of minutes, but it looks like if you're a fan of one of the 14 schools, that the two schools you are going to add next from the other side will be where you land. That's how it appears it is going to be. So as we're talking about this, it's interesting. The Big 12 commissioner is on in a few minutes. They had planned on having their virtual media days on Monday, giving speculation that the season would start on week zero. And now, as everything is going on here, Brett McMurphy is reporting they have canceled that virtual media day. So there's literally nothing that is making a lot of sense right now, except that the SEC has clearly decided they don't feel comfortable playing until the end of September. And that may not please everyone, but you certainly can't find fault with the degree of caution being placed right there. We will take more phone calls here, and Kevin is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Kevin.
Well, hey, Paul. Thanks for letting me visit again.
Thank you.
If I understand this, you know, if it comes to fruition, I trust Ross and all, but only 10 all-conference games for the SEC. Huh. All right, let's break it down. There were supposed to be 8 interconference ACC-SEC games, 2 of which were in Atlanta. Let's throw those out because they're never going to agree who's going to get the home field in that, those 4 schools. The other 6 of the 4 rivalry games, Arkansas going to Notre Dame, Mississippi State going to NC State. 5 of those 6 are on ACC home fields. The only one that's not is Georgia Tech going to Georgia. Old-fashioned hate. I'm calling the SEC a chicken. I don't know how you can possibly say they bent over for Notre Dame only when there is on the website, and clearly yesterday in the announcement by the ACC office, that they're leaving the games open for...
Yeah. Listen, I can't answer that, Kevin. Kevin, hold on a second.
I spin it that way, Paul.
I'm not spinning it anyway. I'm telling you that's what I heard from people close to the SEC. I'm not spinning anything. I promise you.
Okay.
I was told when I was talking to Ross, I said I heard that this afternoon. That's how they are approaching it. I mean, here's what they're going to say, whether they say it publicly or not, that they're more concerned about their conference games than making sure these 4 rivalry games go on. And apparently they are fairly ticked off. You heard it from Ross as well about what happened with the 2 games in Atlanta. I'm a talk show host. I'm not a spokesperson for anyone. Let's go to Logan next in North Carolina. How are you, Logan?
Doing great, Paul. How about you?
Fantastic.
So I just heard from Dan. I haven't been listening to the show earlier today. I just heard about the SEC 10 game schedule. So break it down for me because I'm kind of dumb. Does that mean that there's no outside conference rivalry games? There's no South.
No, I mean, let me make it simple. SEC normally plays an 8-game conference schedule. This year they will play a 10-game conference schedule. Every school, like you're an Alabama fan. I think this is correct. The next team that comes into the rotation, the next 2 onto the rotation after this year are Florida and Vanderbilt. I think because the Florida game was the first Florida game was on the road. Alabama will go to Florida and then have Vanderbilt at home. I could be off on that, but that's how it works with every and again, I don't know where the SEC landed on that. I mean, we've heard for weeks that South Carolina was going to play Clemson. Georgia was going to play Georgia Tech. But I think Notre Dame is the reason why you're seeing this. I think the SEC said, hey, you want to bring Notre Dame into it? Blank you.
Yeah, no, I agree. I couldn't believe when I saw that yesterday that they were going to put Notre Dame in the conference. I mean, I understand why they're doing it, but, I mean, it just seems like they control everything. I mean, they made the ACC look stupid. Like, we're going to do it on our own terms, and now all of a sudden, no.
What I don't really understand, though, is why everything got off the tracks. And Logan, you've been listening to the show. How many times have you heard a commissioner on this program back beginning in March say, we all work collaboratively? That's a bunch of crap. These guys did not work together, and I'm not sure the sport is better as a result, but then again, we don't really know very much. I mean, you have Oklahoma right now playing on August 28th, and Alabama and Florida and LSU and all these schools in the SEC won't be playing to September 26th. So you tell me which conference right now looks like it's taking this thing more seriously from a safety standpoint.
Exactly. And I mean, I'm proud of the SEC for doing that, because to me, when I heard they were moving it up to week zero, I was like, that's totally crazy. Why would you do that? It didn't make any sense to me. And then, the fact that they're moving it back, it makes sense to me. The SEC is coming out looking pretty good so far, but I just don't know how some of these teams fan bases are going to be upset.
Well, there are a million things we don't know. And remember, everybody's reacting and everybody's screaming and hollering, including myself here, Logan. We haven't even seen the announcement yet. I mean, we'll see it here in a couple of minutes. But I'm pretty sure it's going to be exactly what we've been reporting here.
So are you going to have Sankey on last hour? Is that what you said earlier?
That is correct, yes.
Oh, man. Paul, you're the man, as usual. That's awesome. Maybe he'll give some information.
Hopefully. Thanks for the call. Pat is up next in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul, thanks. Well, Commissioner Sankey purchased some more time. His balance sheet looks better.
Yeah, he went to Goldman Sachs and got some more assets.
Yes, he did, and he's to be commended for that. I assume that the Georgia's opener against Alabama will just be rescheduled to another date.
Yeah, you would have to think so.
So, whoopee, we don't have to open against Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember the conference championship game has been pushed back 2 weeks. So we're talking about again, this is all in theory. I have to keep reminding us of that. It's funny how all these schools were. Remember a couple of weeks ago, Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, they're all breaking for Thanksgiving and the students aren't coming back out of fear of the virus. And now we've just pushed the season back a month.
No, you're absolutely correct. And if you would allow me to give a shout out to myself, do you remember me telling you we were going to go to conference only games, that all the conferences would do that?
I do remember that. Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Well, you know, I will tell you this, Pat. We have to go to a break. This is back in March and April. This is the first thing that started floating around that they would only play conference games. It was the simplest, and I'm sure the line they'll use is it's easier to manage, even though you have Texas A&M flying to South Carolina. We're heading to a break. We expect the announcement any moment from the SEC, the official announcement, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Okay, we are back, and it is official now what we reported about 30 minutes ago with our guest, Ross Dellinger. The SEC making it official. They will begin the season on September 26th. They will play 10 conference games. Every school will likely add their next two rotation schools. So let's, if we can, take a look at what that means in terms of everyone's opponent. Alabama will add, I believe this is correct, a game. This is not official. Well, let me check the official announcement. It may be in there. But they will add Florida and Vanderbilt. Okay, it is not in there. Is that correct? Okay, it is not. This is our speculation. Let me make it clear. This is not the SEC. But we're speculating that Alabama will add a game at Florida and Vanderbilt, Arkansas at Georgia, and a trip to South Carolina, Auburn. Will home game against South Carolina, road game at Mizzou, LSU, UK, and Tennessee, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, and UGA, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and UK, A&M, Missouri, and Florida. On the other side, Florida adding Alabama and A&M. We talk about some major tilts if we get that far. Arkansas and Mississippi State on Georgia's schedule. That's a significant break. Kentucky, LSU, and Mississippi, Missouri, A&M, and Auburn. South Carolina, Auburn, and Arkansas, Tennessee, Mississippi State, and LSU, and Mississippi and LSU, I'm not sure where that game is. I think that game could be in Knoxville. Lane Kiffin in Knoxville again as a head coach, as the first time as a head coach, and other than Tennessee, Mississippi, and LSU, and Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Alabama. So, again, the official announcement is out. We will talk to the commissioner in a few minutes. I'll just read you the commissioner's comments, and again, we will talk to him shortly. After careful consideration of the public health indicators in our region and following advice of our medical advisors, we have determined that this is the best course of action. So I think he is telling you a lot there. This is my opinion, not anyone else's, but you can read a lot into Commissioner Sankey's statement that they simply don't feel like it's safe to go on week zero or week one, two, or three. It's going to be very interesting because we're talking to the commissioner of the Big 12 momentarily. They are still planning on at least two of their games on August 28th, I believe it is. Let's get back to the calls and get some more reaction and check in with James, who is in Arizona. James, go right ahead.
How's it going, man? I'm a big Alabama fan, man. I'm hearing a lot of people, you know, they talk about, you know, the SEC, you know, are they going to be back this year? You know, every time, you know, something happened, you know, they always think the SEC's down. But I just want to let people know, you know, I'm a big Alabama fan. Alabama going to be in the conversation now that we got the, you know, 10-game, you know, in conference. I think that's going to be a big, big thing, and I think they're going to cause a lot of confusion coming to the end of the year.
Yeah, listen, nobody's saying the SEC's down. I mean, they won the national championship last year with one of the best teams ever. Brad is in Destin, Florida. Brad, thanks. Great to have you back.
Thank you, Paul. I think if the schedule is going to be pretty easy to understand, if you're being pragmatic about it, there are 12 Saturdays from September the 26th through, December the 12th. Okay? You lose four games, but you pick up two, which means that there will be two open dates. Is that
correct?
Does that sound right?
That I believe that is correct.
Okay, and so you can just about bank on it. That week before the SEC championship game, you know no one will have an open date that week, because that's always been the tradition that before the SEC championship game, every team plays that last Saturday.
Correct.
So one of those games, you know, it could be Auburn, Ole Miss.
Well, hold on a second. Let me jump in here. Every school will have an open date according to the release, and then there will be an open date on the December 12th for every school. So there will be an open date before the championship game.
Okay.
I'm sure, Brad, that was built in there if anyone needs to make up a game.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. But now everybody will have five home games and five road games. And
that is
so
correct.
Now they're going to be scrambling to fill in those four dates that became available all of a sudden, you know, because of the buy-in games and the games out of conference. So I think it's built in so that yes, they can fill in if they have to reschedule games.
Yeah, I mean it's better than nothing. I mean, some schools are playing these 15-week schedules. It doesn't leave them with a lot of error, but it does leave them. I mean, what they're trying to do is get a champion. That's the bottom line here.
That is correct. Okay, thank you for taking my call, Paul.
Brad, thank you. Great to have you on. Always good to talk to you. Let's check in. I know a lot of conversation about this right now. Eddie is in Florida. Eddie, you're next up. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Paul, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great.
Hey, yeah, man. I just want to comment on this decision that came down. Hey, I agree with Barrett, Paul. I do not understand why these conferences are jumping to the gun the way that they have. I really appreciate the commissioner, the SEC commissioner, and trying to hold this thing off as long as possible, because I think that's what you do in a pandemic, Paul. We've never been through this before. So why would people rush to judgment on canceling things? And, yeah, go to the last minute, because what you want to be able to do is look the fans in the eye and say, hey, I took this thing to the last nanosecond, you know? So I tried to get you guys football, and I'm appreciative for that. As long as the kids are safe, I really like moving it back. You know, that give us more time to see what this pandemic is going to do. But, I like it, Paul. And, hey, Paul, who do you like? Does this change your decision about
– I did like Alabama, but I have to get some more information. Alabama, in addition to LSU and Auburn and Georgia – now adds Florida to the schedule as well as A&M. I mean, Alabama's not missing. Alabama will play the toughest schedule in the SEC among the contenders. So I need to think about that. Hey, we're up against a break. We will have the commissioner of the Big 12 and the commissioner of the SEC later.